grateful for salvation.
Amen.
I'm grateful for salvation today.
Amen.
I'm grateful, amen, you know, just to have peace. One of the most, when Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world do I give unto you." You know, but he gives us a peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful for peace, for God's peace.
Amen.
Because it's God's peace that in the midst of life's storms helps keep us centered. Mm-hmm. And keeps us from losing it, you know. And so I'm grateful for peace. Amen. On today, amen, that God just blesses us with his peace. He said he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in him. So when you trust in God and your mind is stayed on God, God said he will keep you in peace. No one can steal your peace.
Amen.
If God promises to keep that peace for you. Amen.
Amen.
So we praise God for peace on today. We're going to turn to two places today to look at a total, at least at the outset, of three verses. First, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. And there we will look at, praise God, we will look at verses 16 and 17. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews 10, we're going to look at verse number 1. Amen. So we're going to start at Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. Now actually, I'm going back and forth here, whether King James Amplified or New Living Translation. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. It says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or new moon ceremonies, or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality." Amen.
Amen.
And then let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we will look at verse number 1. Hebrews 10. In verse 1. And again, New Living Translation, and it says, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the Word of God that He has for us on this morning. Father, we bless you today.
Yes.
One more time, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and even bringing us to this very point. Father, we believe you are a God of purpose, and you have a purpose and a reason for us to be here today,
yes,
and that is to hear your voice. Father, speak unto us. Make it plain, O God. Bless us with an understanding ear and receptive heart, that we may walk in the revealed wisdom of God on today. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you're mindful of us, and that, Father, you even are taking the time to speak unto us words of life. Father, by faith, we receive everything you have for us today. And we know and are confident that we shall be blessed. And for that, we give you the praise and the thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, my prayer is that every one of us in this place will leave here changed today for the better. Yes. And Father, that everyone who's listening, oh God, that their hearts will be transformed,
yes, Lord,
as their minds are renewed by the word of God. Father, I humble myself under you, under your hand right now, oh God. Father, use me as you will. Father, I open my mouth wide with the promise of God that you will fill it with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes.
But all the praise and all the glory remains yours. And so we give it to you right now. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we read Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. And then we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. And in Colossians 2, 16 to 17, we see Paul speaking to the church at Colossae and talking to them about dietary laws and religious ceremonies and religious festivals that were instituted by God. And he called those things shadows of the reality yet to come. And he said that the reality is Christ. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews was talking about the Old Testament animal sacrifices. And the writer said that those sacrifices were only a shadow, a dim preview, he said, of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. And so we see in both places that there is talk by Paul and by the writer of Hebrews about shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And God is speaking to us today. The title is Out of the Shadows. Amen. Because if we boil it down and make it plain and in its simplest form, what God is saying unto us is that we are to come out of the shadows.
Wow.
That many people, in fact, too many people of God are living in shadows. And God says, come out. And we just hear this, amen, as God, a couple of weeks ago, right? Go for it, right? Then he says, you know, live the blessed life. But see, we can't live the blessed life if we're going to be living in the shadows. And a lot of us, amen, are living in shadows. And God says, come out, amen. Out of the shadows. And so, again, we look in Colossians chapter 2. And, you know, these Old Testament dietary laws and the festivals and the ceremonies were instituted by God so that his people could live in a way that pleased him. You observe the dietary laws, you observe the festivals, you observe the holy days, you observe the ceremonies, and the people could be assured that they were living in a way that pleased God because it was God who instituted the laws and the festivals and the ceremonies. But Paul, when we get to the book of Colossians, because now he realizes, because Jesus has now come and he suffered, bled, and died, and then on the third day was resurrected, he understands we're not in that dispensation anymore.
Amen. Amen.
And he says that these dietary laws and these festivals and these ceremonies, which were designed to help God's people live in a way that pleased God, were simply a shadow of the reality yet to come. And that the reality, he said, was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if under this new dispensation, if you want to live a life that pleases God, it's not about Sabbaths, it's not about holy days, it's not about festivals, it's not about clean and unclean animals, it's not about any of that. It's about whether or not you, because those are just shadows. Those things just prefigured that which was to come. But that which was to come has come, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is the reality. Those dietary laws and all those other things were just shadows. And so Paul says, if you want to live a life that's pleasing to God today, you got to come out of the shadows.
Amen.
and embrace the reality of Christ. Because when you embrace the reality of Christ, it doesn't matter what you eat. When you embrace the reality of Christ, it doesn't matter about new moon, old moon, in between moon. You don't have to be concerned about any of that. What you need to be concerned about is, have you received Christ?
Amen.
Because if you receive Christ, then you have everything you need to live a life that's pleasing unto God.
Amen.
Right? Those laws, those festivals, those ceremonies were nothing but shadows.
Yes.
They prefigured or gave a preview of what was to come.
Yes.
But Christ has now come. And when Christ came, he dispelled the shadows and replaced them with himself.
Yes.
We don't need the ceremonies anymore. We don't need the dietary restrictions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is Christ. And likewise, the writer of Hebrews was talking about the animal sacrifices. And he said that the animal sacrifices, he said they were only a shadow. He's even dismissed it. They're only a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And he called them a dim preview. A dim preview of the good things to come. But watch what he said. But not the good things themselves.
Wow.
The animal sacrifices were a dim preview of the good things to come. But they weren't the good things themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the animal sacrifices, right? They gave us a preview of God's gift of salvation. But they weren't salvation themselves. Because how many of you know that the blood of bulls and goats can't save you?
Amen.
But that was the preview. That without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But the blood of bulls and goats is not perfect. And so they couldn't perfectly take away a man's sin. They could only cover it for a time. But even for that time, our sins were covered. That was just a preview of the eternal cleansing that was going to come through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the reality.
Yes.
That, the bull and the goats, the shadows. So the writer of Hebrews said that those animal sacrifices were only shadows, a dim preview of the good things to come, but not the good things themselves. But how many of you know the good thing came? Amen.
Amen.
And Christ came and he shed his blood once and for all. There's no need to year after year, as in the Old Testament, to continue to have all these sacrifices because Christ died once and for all. Amen.
Amen.
And our sins are not covered. They're totally washed away.
Amen.
Glory to God. And that just lets us know there is a huge difference between a shadow and the reality. Right? Because see, the shadow points to a greater reality. Right? Those dietary laws and those ceremonies and those festivals pointed to a greater reality because they were talking about if you live this way, God will be pleased with you. But now we understand that if we accept Christ, we become accepted in the beloved. Those animal sacrifices, amen, which were the shadows, really were pointing to a greater reality of our sins totally be washed away. They weren't washed away back then, but they are now.
Amen.
There's a big difference between shadows and reality, amen. Because all the shadows that we see in the Bible were just prefigures, and they were pre-shadowing or foreshadowing what Christ was going to do for us totally and completely. But shadows have their place, though, because, as we just said, right, shadows point us to things to come. They provide guidance. They give us instruction. They provide hope. But we have to understand that the reality that the shadow points to is always greater than the shadow.
Amen. Amen.
And God is always interested in the greater. What does that mean? That means that God, just as he did in the Bible, he does for each one of us. We have shadows. All of us have some shadows within us. We have some shadows in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
But those shadows aren't the reality. The shadows point to the good things that are to come, but they're not the good things themselves.
Amen.
See, every last one of us, glory to God, Lord, help me say this right. Every last one of us has some shadows.
Amen.
We have some things that God has given us and shown us. Right, we have a shadow of victory in our life.
Yes.
We have shadows of blessings. We have shadows of power. We have shadows of anointing and of knowledge and of wisdom. We have shadows, and but all it is God is pointing us to things that are to come.
Amen.
But they aren't the things themselves. The shadow of the victory is not the victory.
Wow.
The shadow of the blessing is not the blessing. It's pointing you toward the blessing, but it's just simply, it's pointing you toward something that is to come that you don't have yet, the same way that the bulls and the goats and the holy days and the festivals all pointed to Christ before
yes.
he died.
Yes.
And here's the problem, though. And why God is saying, out of the shadows. He's calling us out of the shadows. Why? Because some of us have gotten content with living in the shadows.
Jesus.
We're content with living with the promise of the good thing to come instead of the good thing itself.
Amen.
The promise of the blessing encourages us and we're happy and we jump, but we don't have the good thing itself. The blessing, the power, the victory, the healing, the deliverance, all promise is a shadow. We can see it, but we don't have it because it's not the reality. It's just a shadow.
Amen.
And God is saying out of the shadows, because once we come out of the shadows, we step into the reality. So some, though, are satisfied with the shadows. Why? Because it gives them hope. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm believing God. Because God's gonna. But what did God tell us the last time we were here? God has blessed us.
Amen.
No gonna.
He's done it. Yes.
People who live in the shadows talk about gonna.
Amen.
Because the shadow previews the coming reality. And God said there's too many of my people who are satisfied with the shadow instead of the reality. And then there are other people who are discouraged and disillusioned because they're in the shadows. Because they really do want the reality, but they haven't gotten it. All they have is the promise of the good thing to come, but not the good thing itself.
Amen.
I got the preview, but I didn't get the full movie. I got a glimpse, but I didn't get the whole thing.
Yes.
And now I'm disillusioned, and now I'm discouraged, and now I'm mad, and now I'm questioning God as to why I'm still living in the shadows of the promise, but not the reality of it.
Wow.
And that's why God is saying to either one, whether the ones who are content with the shadow or the one who's discouraged and disillusioned by the shadow, he's saying to both, come out, come on, out of the shadow. Come out of the shadows.
Yes.
It's time to come out. It's time to come out to the reality of the victory and the successes and the health and the prosperity and the blessings and the anointing and the goodness and the favor and all the things that you see in the shadows. It's now time to come out of the shadows and embrace the reality of it all.
Yeah.
Because God has
Amen.
Already blessed us.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Now, we talk about shadows, the shadow of the thing to come in Jesus, right? Because Jesus, Paul said to the church at Colossae, Jesus is the reality. Those other things are just shadows. And it's funny thing about a shadow, if you think about it. Shadows, Shadows need a measure of darkness to exist. Mm-hmm. Right? There needs to be some measure of darkness. Shadows need obscurity. Right? When things are obscure, they're difficult to see. You know? Mm-hmm. And shadows need that. But God is a master of removing obscurity. Oh, there's many a man, many a woman who for years and years and years served the Lord in obscurity. Mm. And then one day God comes and he removes the obscurity.
Yes.
And that which was in the dark, in the dimness of the light, now comes out to the fullness of the light. Amen. And everybody says, glory to God.
Yes, amen.
And God removed obscurity, though, for the whole earth through the person of Jesus Christ. Right? Mm. Anybody who will receive Jesus Christ, amen, anyone who receives Jesus Christ doesn't need to live in the shadows anymore.
Amen.
Right? But we can live in the reality of what the shadow promises. Why? Because these shadows need darkness, but in Jesus there's nothing but light. The Bible says that Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He says that Jesus is the brightness of his glory, the yes. brightness of God's glory. Jesus is pure light.
Amen.
Even in John, in the first chapter of John's gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, without anything made that was made. But he said about Jesus, he said that in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Mm-hmm. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Mm-hmm. And that phrase, comprehended it not, if you read in some other version, it said that the darkness comprehended it not, mean that the darkness couldn't put it out. The darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not master it. The darkness couldn't do anything with the light of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Shadows need darkness, but see, we have the light of Christ on the inside of us. Jesus is unstoppable, right? That light is unstoppable. That's why Jesus himself said it. He said, I am the light of the world. And he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yeah. Darkness can't handle the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Huh? Darkness can't handle it. Mm-hmm. That light removes all obscurity and every last shadow, because shadows need a measure of darkness. But here's the thing. That's good news for us. Because you and I, if we're born again, we have Jesus.
Amen.
Which means we have the light that dispels every shadow. And that's why we shouldn't be content or complacent with living in the shadow when we have a greater reality that is ours if we step out of the shadow and into the light.
Amen.
It's good news.
Yes, it is.
I was thinking about something. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth, he was talking about Adam and Jesus. And he was making the point that Adam in his physical body was here first before Jesus in his spiritual one. In fact, even Jesus himself came in his physical body before he then got his glorified. And so Paul, when he was making this point to the church at Corinth, he was talking about the order of things. He said, first natural, then spiritual. Which is interesting because natural is inferior and spiritual is superior. Yeah. But Paul was yet making the point that when you look at the bodies, the natural bodies and the spiritual bodies of Adam and Jesus and even Jesus' natural body with a spiritual body, it was first natural, then spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that because and I can't even say I thought about it. Oh, glory to God. Because he made me think about that and realize, he told me, go back and think about, and even the Holy Spirit even led me to look up the natural definition of shadow. Mm-hmm. Because if we first can get it in the natural, we'll get it in the spiritual.
Amen.
First natural, than spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up the definition of a shadow. Because we all know what a shadow is. Mm-hmm. But if somebody asked you to define it, you would say, you know what it is. So I looked it up. And the definition of a shadow, naturally speaking, is this. A dark figure cast upon a surface by an opaque body intercepting the rays from a source of light. Let's think about that. A dark figure that's cast upon a surface by an opaque body. An opaque body is a body that's non-transparent. And that non-transparent body intercepts the rays from a source of light. And if we think about it in the natural, let's think about a tree. The sun is up in the sky and is shining on everything below, including that tree.
Yes, yes.
And the rays of light are coming from the sun. Behind the tree is the ground. But the light doesn't shine on the ground because the tree intercepts the light.
Light. Yes.
And because the tree is an interceptor of the light that's coming from the sun, that interception leads to a shadow behind the tree.
Amen.
And it's a dark figure on the surface of the ground. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The light, the non-transparent tree, mm-hmm, intercepts the light, and it creates a shadow on the surface of the ground. Amen. A dark figure. Mm-hmm. And watch this. That shadow is not the tree.
That's right.
It's a shadow. Mm-hmm. The reality is the tree. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. That's what a shadow is. You have to have light. You have to have an interceptor of the light. And that interceptor creates a dark figure on the surface. That is the shadow. And so here's the thing. When we talk about living in the shadows, we first have to understand there needs to be some light.
Amen.
If you have total darkness, there's no shadow.
Right.
That's why I say shadow need a measure of darkness. Mm-hmm. But they also need light.
Yes.
And here's the thing about us when we're living in the shadows. See, God has shined light on us long before we got here. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you.
Yes.
And before you came forth out of the womb, I ordained you and sanctified you a prophet to the nation. Mm-hmm. God said, I had already shined my light upon you, Jeremiah, long before you got here.
Yes.
And he said the same thing to us. Long before you got here, I shined the light of my wisdom on you. I shined the light of my goodness on you. I shined the light of my plans for your life on you. But long before you got here, I shined on you. From eternity past, I shined on you.
Yes.
Then why are we in the shadows? Because there has come an interceptor. That God has shined his light on us, and an interceptor has come. And when the interceptor comes, who's opaque, non-transparent, it creates a dark figure on the surface. Jesus. And see, so all of us, God has given us his light through Jesus Christ and through the plans. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's light. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. That's revelation, right? That's light. I know the plan that I have for you. The problem, though, that the reason why we're in shadows is because all of us have interceptors.
Yes.
Who have intercepted that light that God has shined in our life. And what we have on the surface of our heart are all these shadows.
Jesus.
of what our life is supposed to be. It's a preview of the good thing to come. It's the shadow, but it ain't the reality. It's just a shadow. And immediately when we think, oh, we got an interceptor. God has given us light, but we have shadows of the good thing to come on the surface of our heart because of that old interceptor. And the first thing we think, Satan. You know, girls, get thee behind me, Satan, because we just know that Satan is the interceptor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But remember what the interceptor is. It's an opaque body. It's a body that's non-transparent.
Jesus.
You can say what you want about Satan, but Satan is transparent.
Yes.
He don't fake what he's about. Oh, he uses trickery, he uses deception, he uses all kinds of things, but his main thing is the main thing, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's transparent about that. He said, listen, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's transparent about that. He hates God and he hates the people of God. He's transparent about that. Oh, he uses tricks, but he's transparent. He is not on your side. I want to take you out.
Yep.
Has God really said? What's he trying to do? Get you off of God's side. Yeah, he blesses you, but skin for skin, let me touch him and he'll curse you to your face.
Jesus.
He wants to take us out. So Satan is not the interceptor because Satan is transparent. Your enemies aren't your interceptor. All the people who are trying to keep you from getting to where you want to be. Yeah, they know that the anointing is on me and they're trying to stop me from getting places just like David had Saul throwing javelins at him. Listen, you can have all the biblical references you want, but I'm telling you now, other people are not the interceptor. Here's the harsh reality.
Yeah.
The interceptor is you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own interceptor. You are your own interceptor. You know why? Because we refuse to be transparent.
Jesus. Mm.
And because we refuse to be transparent,
wow.
The goodness that God has spoken into our life from eternity past, amen, instead of going through us, do you know what being transparent is? Transparent means that we allow light to pass through so that objects that are behind can be distinctly seen. If this altar was transparent, you could distinctly see the lower half of my body. That's what it means to be transparent. That light goes straight through the thing so that you can distinctly see what's behind the thing. But we are our interceptors. Why? Because we refuse to be transparent.
That's it. Amen.
We refuse to be transparent.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is God has shined the light of all his promises on us, given us a preview of all the good things to come. And what happens is because that light gets intercepted by our opaqueness, our non-transparency, instead of now us seeing straight through and seeing all the goodness of God shining through our lives, we create a dark spot on the surface behind us.
Yes.
And it's just a shadow.
Jesus.
And God says, if you want to come out of the shadows, you're going to have to be transparent so that the light that I'm shining on you can go straight through you so everybody can distinctly see that I'm behind you. See, but what happens is, but I'm transparent. You're not transparent when you do a good thing in the earth and stand up and take credit for it.
Amen.
You are not being transparent. Why? Because the only way you were able to do that was God was behind you.
Amen.
What do you mean God's behind me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and shepherds lead. Yes, but God we're talking about here. God can lead and be behind. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 52, yes, he said, I will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rear guard. Amen. God can go before and be behind you and be by your side all at the same time.
Praise the Lord.
But when a person does good in the earth and they stand up there and take the credit, when a person stands up there and the goodness of God is evidenced in their life through forgiveness and through mercy and through grace and through favor and through anointing and through all the things that God does for us, and we stand there and instead of being transparent, we become an interceptor of the light. And now we create a shadow and people can't see that it was really God behind us.
Amen. Ooh. Preacher.
God said it's time to come out of the shadow. Why? So that people can see that it's me operating in your life.
Amen.
Oh, because when God gets the glory, oh, those things that were merely shadows, those things that were just dark spots on the surface of your life and on your heart, now get exchanged for the reality of the good thing to come. I want you to turn. We're about to get out of here.
Amen.
Mama, I said amen. I don't know what got to him. You know what we are. I said we're about to. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. And as we go, I want you to remind you, amen, that Exodus 34 deals with Moses getting the second pair of the tablets from God that contained the Ten Commandments. You remember that when he got the first pair, he threw them on the ground when he came down because he saw the people acting a fool. And so he went back on top of Mount Sinai. And we said 34, right?
Yes.
Let's look at verse 27. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets, on the table, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he knew not, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, while he talked with God. So Moses comes down, right? And he doesn't know his face is shining.
Mm-hmm.
He has spent so much time with God. How many of you know, when you spend time with God, your face looks different.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You can't spend time with God and come out looking like you've been sucking on onions and drinking lemon juice. You just can't. Your face looks different.
Amen.
It shines.
Wow.
He didn't know his face was shining. But watch this. And they, the people, verse 30, were afraid to come near him. So what did Moses do? He called unto them and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And watch this. Until Moses had done speaking, right? So until he had finished speaking with them,
mm-hmm,
he put the veil on his face. It wasn't until he was finished speaking with them that he put the veil on his face.
Mm.
But when Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and he spake unto the children of Israel. And the children of Israel saw his face, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face until he went in to speak with him. Mm-hmm. So we see what happens here.
Wow.
So for a long time, I heard this being preached, that Moses' face was shining, the people were scared, so Moses put a veil on his face so the people wouldn't be scared of him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what that says.
That's right.
What it says is that this is how it happened. Moses is talking to God, he comes down, and his face is shining. Glory to God. He don't know it's shining. And the people go, whoa! They were afraid.
Yeah.
Someone said, why? Your face, man, is shining. And he didn't feel sorry for them and go, okay,
let me cover it up.
Mm-mm.
No.
He didn't do that. He said, it's shining? Well, come here, let me tell you something.
Yes.
So he called all the elders and he called Aaron. And while his face is shining, he's talking to them. This is what God said. And then after that, he called the people. Come on up.
Man.
Come on. This is what God said. And then after he finished talking to the people,
that's when he comes
up. And he kept this on his face all the time. Next day, he's walking around. What's up, Moses? Hey, how you doing? Who that? It's Jim. Hey, what's up, Jim? Hey, Moses. Hey, how you doing? I recognize your voice. What's up, Amen? How you doing? How you doing, Joshua?
Amen.
And then God said, Moses, I need you to come back. And Moses said to the people, I'll be right back. I got to go back up to the mountain to talk to God. And then when he went back up to God, the veil came on.
Amen.
And then when he came back down, he talked to the people. It said the people saw his face was shining. So he's talking to them. Let me tell you what God said. Let me tell you what God said. And then when he finished, and he did this until he went back to speak with God.
Amen.
Why did he do this?
Yes. Jesus.
But we turn to the last place we're going to turn to today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul tells us why Moses did this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 12. Glory to God. It says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he says. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now, I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. It says, nor do we act like Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites might not gaze upon the finish of the vanishing splendor which had been upon him. Another version says that he covered his face so that the children couldn't see the glory that was fading away.
Wow.
So why did Moses cover his face after he spoke to the people? Because see, when he went up to God, his face was shining. And you know that the people gave Moses a hard time. He called them stiff-necked people. People who wouldn't listen. As God only spoke through Moses. There are all kinds of things, even from his brother and sister. He got all kinds of grief. But now he went up to be with God. And when he came down, his face was shining. And the people were like, whoa!
Amen.
And Moses said, oh, it's like that? Well, let me tell you what God said. See, because as long as the glory was on him, the people listened to him. As long as the glory was on him, the people held him in high regard. As long as the glory was on him, Moses could stand up there and know that he wouldn't get grief from the people. But Moses also knew something.
that the only reason why they're listening to me is because of the glory that's on my face right now.
Jesus.
But there was a problem with that glory, because that glory began to fade. And so when Moses covered up his face, it wasn't for the benefit of the people. Because if it was, he would have covered up his face from the beginning. But Moses covered up his face the minute he knew the glory was fading away. And he realized that if the people would see the glory fading away, they would see the real me.
Yes.
And they wouldn't hold me in regard anymore.
Yes.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cover my face with a veil.
Yes.
So that they can believe that underneath this thing is still the glory of the Lord. And now they're going to continue to listen to me, even though I have no more glory. And how many of us are living with a veil over our face because we want people to believe that behind this is a person who believes, a person who has faith, a person who walks in forgiveness, a person who is generous, a person who gives. We want to pretend that the glory and the goodness of God is underneath our veil. And so we have a veil. And that's why we're not transparent.
Amen. Ooh, that's a good word. Jesus. Wow. Jesus.
Look at verse number 16.
Jesus.
Glory to God. Verse 16 says, nevertheless, when it, not it, it's really one, when you, when anyone shall turn to the Lord, what happens?
Jesus.
The veil is taken away. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We don't have to pretend. When we turn to the Lord, we don't have to be like Moses with a veil over our face, pretending as if we're walking in power. Pretending that God is with us. When we turn to the Lord, it says the veil is taken away.
Wow.
And what happens after the veil is taken away? Now the Lord is that Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not only is the veil taken away, but we now can walk in a freedom to be who we really are.
Yes. Jesus.
Mm. And not only do we have freedom, look what it says in verse 13. But we all, with open face or with an unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. We don't have to put a veil on our face to act as if we have the glory of God. When we come to God and we just can come to, He takes the veil away. And now we're free to be who we were meant to be. And we don't have to pretend anymore. We have an unveiled face that truly has glory and goes from glory to glory to glory.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Moses had an issue. That glory to God we don't have in Christ. And the glory that's on your life and is on my life is not fading away. Because it is founded in the reality of Christ. There's too many people who are like Moses who are wearing a veil, which is just like wearing a mask. Hiding the real you. And we want people to believe that underneath this mask is a person who has it all together. But we need to be transparent if we're going to stop creating shadows in our life.
Amen.
And really see the goodness of God in our life. We have to be more like that man who said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. If the preacher stands up here, if the leader stands up here, and creates this image that he or she is a giant of the faith, then other people are going to be intimidated and say, well, that's because they're the leader, they're the preacher, they're the bishop, they're the first lady. But when the bishop and the first lady and the leader stand up here and say, I was afraid.
Amen.
I was confused. But yet don't stop there and say, but I leaned on God and God brought me through. I tell you, that will do more to release people than for someone to act as if the glory of God is on their life. Take the veil off, God is saying. Come out of the shadow, because your veil makes you opaque. It makes you non-transparent. And non-transparent people don't walk in the reality of my promise. They only have the shadow.
Jesus, wow.
That's why God says, out of the shadows. Out of the shadows, amen. Out of the shadows. Amen. Time to be real. Out of the shadows. Amen. Glory to God. Stop trying to act like you got it all together, that you know it all. Stop, every time I talk to you, you want to give me a scripture verse. Stop it. Come on now. You got something going on with you. Be Amen. Real. Stop it. Stop it. Be real. Be transparent. Amen. Stop trying to act like the glory of God is all over you when you know that some of that stuff is fading away. Because, you know, sometimes you walk as a giant of the faith, and other times your faith is shaking down to your core. All you got to do is live life for a while. Because sometimes storms come to you that make you scared, just like Peter. You can walk on water for a time, but sometimes, amen, the wind gets so boisterous and the waves get so tall, you start looking around and then you're sick. Stop acting like you don't sink. Stop acting like you never gotten wet. Stop it, okay? Be transparent.
Amen.
Be transparent. Because if you don't, your life will be nothing but a shadow. A dark figure on the surface of your life. Created by your refusal to be real, to allow the light of God to shine through you.
Jesus.
So that people can clearly see what or who is behind you.
Jesus.
When I stand up and hear my weakness, and you know, hey, I was nervous today. You were? Yeah. How'd you do that? God.
Amen.
Oh, see, when people can see God in your nervousness, I can tell you a little bit nervous, but man, you can't do it. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit kicked in.
Amen. That's right.
Instead of acting, well, I've been doing this for quite a while now, so I know how to do it. You got a veil on your face.
Amen.
You got a mask on your face.
Tell it.
And your refusal to be transparent is nothing but creating shadows on the surface of your life.
Jesus.
I don't know about you, amen. I don't want the shadow, because the shadow is just a preview of the good thing to come, but it's not the good thing itself.
Amen.
How many of you want the good thing itself?
Amen.
Glory to God. I want the good thing itself.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask, by the service of Jesus, I'm healed, but I'm still walking. No, I want the good thing itself.
Amen.
I want to be like that man we read in the book of Acts today, that the bones in his ankles just come and he starts leaping and jumping for joy, and everybody's looking saying, wasn't it? Yeah, that was me, but I'm walking in a reality. Why? Because I wasn't too proud to beg. I wasn't too proud to say, listen, can you imagine if he didn't ask Peter and John for something? He wouldn't have gotten anything.
Jesus.
Glory to God. God is saying, come out of the shadows. Amen.
Amen.
Come out of the shadows. Stop acting like you got everything down pat.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to come out of the shadows. Stop pretending that you're living in the full glory of God behind your veil. People who are walking in the glory of God don't need a veil.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Bless the Lord.
Be real with God and be real with man. Amen. See, that was the thing with Moses. See, Moses knew enough that when he went back to God, he took that veil off. He knew enough. I ain't going to pretend with you, God. I ain't going to pretend with you. I'm nothing. I'm just a mumbling stutterer who could have, if you didn't help me, my tongue would be so tied.
Amen, that's me.
So I ain't pretending with you, God. Right? But then he can't pretend with God, because he knows God knows everything. But now God gives him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and Moses comes back down the thing, and he breaks it down, and then he realized, okay, I done gave him everything God gave me. But let me put my veil back on. So they still think I'm all that in the pack of chips. But we need to be transparent, not just before God. We need to be transparent before God and men.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't pray for you because you acting like you got it all together. Mm-hmm. How many people aren't being covered in prayer today because they won't let anybody know they got an issue? Amen. You got a veil on. That's why all you have is a shadow of the promise.
Jesus.
But if you would take the veil off and let the church pray for you and let the people pray for you, maybe you would come out of the shadow and embrace the reality
Amen.
Of what the shadow was promising.
Jesus.
I ain't got time for it, y'all. Amen.
Yes.
I ain't got time for it. I don't want the shadow. God is calling me out and I'm coming out. That's it. I'm out.
Amen.
But I got to be real. You got to be real. Amen. You got to be real. You got to be transparent. Be transparent. Let that light, don't be an interceptor of God's light. Let God's light shine in you, through you, behind you, so people can see it's all God working in you, doing things in your life, things that you could never do on your own. I believe when we do that, we'll have more victory, we'll have more success, we'll have more healing, we'll walk in more prosperity, we'll walk in more strength, more anointing, all the goodness of God, more deliverance. We'll see that in our
life. Amen.
When we stop pretending that we got it down
pat.
That's it. That is it.
That's the Lord.
I'm closing the book and I'm done.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God is calling us out of the shadows, amen. Glory to God. I'm coming out, man. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have time, man. I need the reality.
Amen. Me too.
I need the reality of the promise. I don't need the preview of the promise. I don't need the preview of the good thing to come. I need the good thing itself.
Amen.
How you doing, brother? I'm all right. No, you're not all right. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes, anybody in here never, sometimes you're not all right.
Amen.
But how many times do you really tell people that? How you doing today? I'm good. Are you really?
Wow.
Well, you can't tell everybody everything. I'm not asking you to tell everybody everything, but there should be somebody that you tell the truth to.
That's it.
Because how can I say, hey, you know what? At break time, why don't we just sit down in the cafeteria and we can talk about it? How can I be moved to do that if you pretending you're okay?
Mm-hmm.
How can you help me if I'm pretending to be okay? How can I learn everything if I act like I know everything?
Wow.
Glory to God. Let's rest on our feet and pray today.
Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you. We bless you today, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. You are calling us out of the shadows, God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shadows created by non-transparent bodies that intercept rays of light. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Leading to dark figures on the surface.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we have so many shadows in our lives, on our hearts, and in our lives, oh God, it's because, Lord, we've heard you today. Because we refuse to be transparent.
Yes, Lord.
But Father, we're making a turn today. Father, we ask you to forgive us first of all, oh God, as we repent, oh God.
Yes, Father.
For all the times we act like everything was okay. We repent, oh God, for any time that we took any of your glory, that we tried to act as if everything was fine behind the veil so that others could hold us in higher regard. Father, we ask you to forgive us.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. And we turn away from that, God. And Father God, you said that those who turn to the Lord, that the veil is removed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we stand transparent,
yes.
Naked before God and man. And like Adam and Eve, they were naked and not ashamed.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
That, Father, we can stand before you and before man in the liberty that is ours, the freedom that is ours in the Spirit. And, Father, we can be transformed.
Yes.
Because now we can fully and completely allow you to work upon us.
Yes.
Without any hiding, any deception, any misdirection. But God, we are standing before you in humility and truth.
Yes.
Saying, Lord, we need
you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, we need you.
Lord, we need you.
Hallelujah. We desire you.
Thank you, God.
To get all of the glory out of our lives.
Yes.
So, Father, we make a vow here today to be transparent.
Yes.
But, Father God, we yet know we have a battle with spirit and flesh. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us in this battle.
Help us, Lord.
Help us in this battle that we may walk in full transparency before God and before man, that the fullness of the light of Christ can shine all throughout our lives.
Yes.
And when it does, God, and when it does, and when people are going to be quick to give us credit and to give us compliments and to pat us on the back, let us be even quicker.
Yes.
To give God all the glory.
Yes.
Because it's not our doing, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes.
Yes.
Father, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
As we come out of the shadows, we are leaving behind the preview. Ha! And we're coming into the full feature that you have for us, O God.
Yes.
A life filled with blessings and favor and victory and success and increase and prosperity and protection and healing and deliverance. Oh God,
yes.
All of the
thank
many
you,
gifts
Lord.
That you have for us.
Hallelujah.
Father, we're coming out of the shadows. And we thank you, God, for beckoning us on this morning and for giving us everything we need
yes.
to heed your call.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus'
name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.